Hey guys, we've got a little bit of a special podcast prepared for you this time around. I've gathered a bunch of people who have had a long time involvement with Little Busters, and for the next hour we're going to be commemorating the 10th anniversary of Little Busters by having a chat about all the things we've accomplished as a fandom over 10 years and like how far we've come, and also a little bit of what Little Busters means to us personally. For people who haven't read Little Busters yet, you can rest assured that this podcast will be mostly spoiler-free, but we are going to talk a little bit about the plot in vague detail, so if you want to go in completely blind, maybe you won't want to listen to this podcast, but otherwise it should be mostly fine. So yeah, sit tight and we hope you enjoy it. I'm your host, Spidey, and joining me for this podcast we have Pepe.
Little Busters, psycho!
And also joining us is Technology, our webmaster.
Hello.
Hello, this is your first time on one of our podcasts, and I brought you on because you were one of my buddies back in the days of the fluffy translation. I don't know how I expect you to respond to that, other than...
Yeah, sorry, I'm shy. I'm bad at this.
Emily is shy, so... Everyone be nice to her.
You can do it, Amy.
And, Kanbare, you like Rin.
Yeah, I really am like Rin.
And we also have, Fleabuster.
Hello, guys. Glad to be here.
Or do you prefer Fleabus?
No, either one is fine. I'm the main editor of Little Busters since the old fluffy fan translation, and still during the new Visual Arts release.
So when's that coming out?
Oh great, thanks. You just had to put it up there.
Happy, right. We're only 5 minutes in, and you're already breaking the rules.
Well, okay.
I have to ask the question that everyone...
I can answer that very confidentially. I'm sure you won't tell anyone. It's gonna be 2020, you heard it here first. I hope that's okay. So
it's going to be out latest 2020.
Oh, sorry, I asked the wrong question. When's the EX patch coming out?
Oh, it's already out, but we are keeping it private, you know.
Right.
Ooh,
it's been out for like 5 years.
I think we've all, like, been involved with this fandom since, Fleabus, do you remember when, the fluffy translation started?
I think it started in 2008, but I joined it probably a few months after that, in early 2009, okay. As far as I can tell.
Most of us probably would have gotten involved in, like, 2009, when... Because these patches were being released sequentially, root by root. I think, like... Correct me if I'm wrong, the first patch was the common root only, is that right?
No, the first patch was like only a few days of the common root.
Oh, okay. So there's one being before that.
Yeah, I think we were like releasing a patch for each day or something at the beginning.
Wow.
Really? Wow. I wasn't that far back. I think the first time I heard about Little Busters was like... You know, I'd kind of like just come off Clannad, and I'm like, oh man, I need more from this company, and I discover this visual novel, Little Busters, has just been released in Japan not that long ago. I think Little Busters EX was already out by that point, so I wasn't tracking it that early, but it was like, I remember because the only patch that was available the first time I tried it was like the full common route, and I tried a little bit of that, and I really liked it. And I remember that's when I needed to, like, without going into too much detail, I really wanted to, like, purchase it and support it, and I didn't have any money. And then I had to, like, start, like, basically ground root project to accumulate the funds required to purchase Little Busters Ecstasy, which at the time I didn't realize. No, it was Little Busters, the original version, because they didn't have a patch for Ecstasy. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. But yeah, so, like, I had to get the funds together when I had no money, and that took me, like... That took me like a couple of months. I was like a young teenager at that time.
Yeah,
did you start the Patreon in 2009?
I didn't start a Patreon, but you know, I had to work really hard because it was like $120 Australian just to import it from Japan. It was like really expensive.
I think you got in roughly the same way and around the same time that I did, actually.
Really?
Yeah, except I was in high school and it's completely broke.
Yeah, same.
How did you guys even find out about the Hulu Fluffy patch? Because I remember trying to find more info about it like in 2010, and I did a quick Google search, the Buster's English patch, and I don't know. I could never find anything until it actually came out, so what's your stories?
I actually watched the Clannad anime, and right after it was like, I need something more like this. And I looked it up, and I looking into the company, and it went like, okay, they have some other shows. So I watched like Air and Cannon, do the anime adaptations. I'm like the casual fan ever, apparently. and I got to Little Busters, which, like, up until this point, I genuinely didn't realize these were games first. When I found Little Busters, I looked into what that actually was, and I found this little translation project that had, like, the common root out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's pretty much the same story as me.
I feel bad, because I could never find it. Well, I guess similar to me, but it was actually the Clannad visual novel that did it when I told myself, oh, I need to find more games by them. And,
yeah, because I know I did play the Clannad visual novel early. I didn't finish it, but I did try it because, I didn't get that far. I wasn't that unfamiliar with visual novels because I had already played Time Hollow on the DS on a complete whim.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I knew what a visual novel was by that point, and I tried Clannad, and I'm just like, yes, this is good shit. Hook me up. And that's kind of, like, why I wanted to get into Little Busters. Yeah. I kind of, like, craved something new, because with Clannad, I was, like, reading a lot of the same stories I'd just watched in the anime, and I wanted something new, and that's what drew me to reading Little Busters when it was being translated. And I think, like, the first time I really, like, caught up with the translations was, like... Do you remember the root order, Phlebas?
Oh, like, 4 releases?
Yeah.
I think it started with Komari.
Komari, okay.
Yeah, I can't really remember the order of the rest after that.
Yeah, what was... I know there was, like, two patches with, like, two roots together.
Yeah, I think so.
Man, oh, it's really been so long that our memory is hazy.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking that back when I started working on Little Busters, there weren't that many translated visual novels out at all. Like, there was pretty much the Mirror Moon portal with some...
This was the early days of the visual novel translation scene,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, like very early days.
So who was the actual translation team? Who are the rest of the translation team?
Well, the main translators for the whole game are Dango, who is still a translator in our company, yeah, and Silent, who they both have translated like close to half the game, and we had like several other translators who translated like much smaller portions.
I'm actually surprised because I met Dango while I was in Japan, and I don't hear of much. Japanese nationals who help work on translating BNs into English in the fan scene, especially.
Yeah.
Most of the fan translators who work from JP to English are English natives who learn Japanese. So
yeah,
that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely something of a rarity.
I have met him in real life. On my first trip to Japan, I organized a meeting with a couple of the Fluffy people, and I got to meet Korte and Dango, and we just kind of hung out.
Back when I joined, both really Silent and Dango were already working on the game. It was Silent who originally scouted me out. Like I said, there weren't that many projects at the time, so they were just looking for an editor and found me.
It's the early days of visual novel translations are very fascinating to me. Because it feels like there were many attempts from like localization companies to try and bring those into the Western awareness, but they never really succeeded.
Don't really stuck, I think. I mean, Manga Gamer had their interesting attempts at, like, it's straight up Nougat, but.
Did they exist back then? Manga Gamer?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they existed that early on. Like, they came in the scene much later than just, like, it hadn't been that many years, but.
I think 2009-2010 Manga Gamer was already around, but there were already, like, much older players, like Jast and Rip Hirameki, but yeah, people like them.
Who did MS-17?
I think that was Hirameki.
Yeah, Jast was selling the English version.
Yeah, it was Hirameki, yeah. And, you know, they were like the early Sekai project, I'd almost say.
Yeah.
Just like, but like back then when it just it wouldn't happen. Like the market just wasn't conducive for it. I'm actually curious who did Time Hollow now. Man, we're getting like way too into this discussion, but it's really interesting to me.
I'm fairly sure Time Hollow was done by in-house Konami staff.
Was it? Yes, it was. Okay. Yeah, so, Pepe, what was your first experience with Little Busters?
Oh, dear. I like telling this story. So, like I said, I read Planet first. And after reading Planet, I really wanted to get into Little Busters, but I couldn't find anything about Little Busters until the patch actually came out.
Was that the full patch?
The full patch, yes, with everything until reframe. How did I find that out? I don't even remember. Maybe
Google.
Maybe Fua Novel. I don't know. Was Fua Novel starting at that time?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it was.
There was a pretty strong fandom for it. I think mainly because Aeru, if somebody remembers her, was a huge fan, so she was posting a lot about it. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of keeping a distance from Fua Novel because at the time it was like pretty much promoting piracy and so on, like they had downloads for the game and everything, so but they did have a big fandom for the game, so
like all the controversy aside, they were like trying to promote visual novels and they were doing a really good job of it. I feel like visual novels probably wouldn't be where they were now without them. It's really interesting. It's kind of like the messy history of the visual novel fandom. I guess stuff like Katawa Shoujo and the more recent successes on Steam have kind of like really propelled visual novels into the mainstream. But back when Little Busters released, none of that existed. It was very much a tight-knit, super niche community. And just knowing anybody that knew what a visual novel was like a huge deal back then.
I think they were even hosting back on TLWiki, the patch on TLWiki. Which was the place to be for visual novels.
TLWiki is also a huge player in that.
Right.
Trying to get visual novels more accessible to people. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I remember back when Little Busters was released, I was already working back then, but the office I was working on was like super lax. Like you could do anything, you could even play video games as long as you did your job. And Little Busters came out at just the right time when one of my projects finished and there were no new projects coming in because it was Christmas time and New Year's, and I just played Little Busters all day in the office.
Nice.
I
That's
just
awesome.
Read the whole thing over 2 weeks and I was holding my tears back during reframe because everyone in the room would see me crying. So.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, if you played through it in 2 weeks, it's like 100-hour visual novel, so that's a lot of play.
Yeah. I know, like...
Rewrite on the other hand.
Around that point in my... Like, around that point in my life, like, anybody who knows me knows this story, but, like, Umineko was also another visual novel that was getting translated into English at a similar time. And I was kind of, like, stuck between two great visual novels to read as the patches were gradually being released, and it's just like I was amazed because the final patches for Umineko and Little Busters came out within like 2 days of each other, like 24 hours of each other.
Oh, really?
These are actually my two favorite visual novels to this day, and I experience both of their endings at the same time. I like pretty much just lock myself in my room for a week and I'm just like, let's do this, let's fucking finish this. I did like a final read through of the common route just to like, you know, make it the complete experience. I didn't skip any of the scenes and just went from all the way from common route to refrain, and then episode 8 of Umineko, and it's just like the best time ever.
I wonder.
And that was when I learned to cry, ladies and gentlemen.
That is when he gained the heart.
They named the new Little Busters Prepare to Cry Edison.
I don't know, like, my history of Little Busters is very much, like, when I first started reading it, I was kind of in the anime blogging scene, and I had my own little Kakeru Complex blog, which I used to regularly blog about shit, and I have done a couple of posts on Little Busters and what it means to me, and it's a very emotional read from like a younger aspirante, if you ever want to get into that, and just like all the things that Little Busters has like changed
like a novel.
In my life, and I might like, if anybody wants that, then I can link it.
It took a while.
Have you seen that post?
I think I have as well.
I'm fairly sure I have, it's just been too long.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like, that was kind of a gateway for me to meet people too, through that and Twitter. Like, I quite religiously followed the hashtag LittleBusters on Twitter because, like, no Japanese users really use that hashtag, so it was kind of like an exclusive little community for English-speaking readers of the game. And that was really cool. I met a lot of people through that. Yeah? I met a lot of people through
I did that too.
Yeah? I know I met a lot of people through the Fluffy IRC as well, like you guys here. Except for Pepe, I met him through Kazunat, sorry.
Well.
And, you know, like, I feel like a lot of my ties to anime visual novel fandom are through Little Busters, because, like, every time I meet someone who likes Little Busters, there's kind of like an instant rapport there. You know, you meet people with a similar sense of values and, you know, fun-loving people, and it's just, you know, you just fucking, you meet someone at a con who recognizes your Kyosuke or Kengo cosplay, and then they're like, is that Little Busters? And then you both do the muscle dance, and it's just like instant like rapport. It's quite remarkable. I actually had that happen to me in Japan when I was wearing the Little Busters jacket.
All
some
right,
like Japanese businessman like just instantly recognized it, and we had like, He spoke a little bit of English, so we were able to have a little bit of a conversation about it. He was like amazed that someone like from outside Japan actually knew about it.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Little Busters, so cool.
Little Busters is a story about connections, and it is a story which connects people remarkably well. Like, especially in the early days, like when it was such a tight-knit community, I really like felt the love there. It's kind of grown a bit since the anime came out. A lot more people were introduced to the series through that. Pretty much like 90% of people on Kazumatsuri got into Little Busters through the anime first. Like, that was their gateway. Some people, like, they saw the anime and then went to read the visual novel. I know that's how I kind of experienced a lot of my visual novels. But, it's, like, I tried to round up some people who are familiar with the fan translations, like, were into it back then for this podcast, and I had a lot of trouble finding people like that, to be honest. Most people got in quite a bit later.
Actually, yeah, I mean, despite the qualms that some of the visual novel readers might have towards the anime, it was able to grab in a big chunk of, Little Busters fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who Watch Planet and wanted something more, and then got even more invested in the Little Busters than they ever were with Planet.
Like, I like the Little Busters anime, but I acknowledge a lot of the faults it has, and, like, what I am thankful for is that there are so many people that did watch Little Busters anime, and then some, I can't speak for everyone, but they must have felt something which led them to think, I gotta, like, see the source material for this, and then they did, and then that's kind of like where we are at as a fandom. It's just, yeah, Little Busters is the best.
It helps that the translation patch was fully complete by the time the anime started airing, because like, if you were a Clannad fan and you watched the anime and you wanted to try and read the visual novel, there was nothing, or Ticket Coon at least.
Remember the days where we had to read Little Busters without a word wrap?
Sure.
Amy, weren't you involved with one of the patches?
Yeah, I did some reverse engineering of the archive format so we could backport some of the sprites and stuff from the PSP port, I believe.
Was that for the additional voices?
Yeah, additional voices and some sprites with background characters. Yeah.
Like Achan-senpai. Right.
Uh-huh.
There was a patch for additional voices. Nani?
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was released at the same time as the final.
Oh, the XX patch.
The XX patch, whatever.
Thanks, Bunkus.
One thing I always appreciated with the Fluffy TL was it just had so much charm. The Fluffy TL just has so much charm oozing in the writing. It's just fun. And you could tell that the people that were working on it had a lot of fun doing it. And it's something you don't get from every translation.
Well, when you're working on something fun, it's kind of easy to have fun doing it.
I agree.
The director of slaughter, puns, and bad jokes, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, that was your title.
I mean, I've been through a lot of translation projects, and some of them have been less than enchanting, so sometimes I just want to get through them. But the Little Bastards was the total opposite of that.
That's great.
Stares quietly at the original Clannad patch.
I mean, like, it was kind of... It took until the official Steam release before we got a final, like, patch for that. That kind of went through development hell a couple of times, because I know, like, the project was handed off between a couple of different groups, and then just, like, each group is like, yeah, we're gonna fix it this time, guys. And then it just never really ended up happening. Thanks, Ticket-kun. But at least
Little
Busters...
Weren't, like, big chunks of just straight up Google Translate, too?
Yeah, some lines were, indeed. Especially Akio. Damn.
At the time, like, I guess the only key novels which are fully translated were Canon and Planetarian, which, if I'm correct, were both by Haleth, and we had Little Busters, and we had a kind of incomplete Clannad one, so there really wasn't a lot there. It was like, Air wasn't translated until many years later, like, after Kaza was made, and then... I don't think... Yeah, Kudwafter still hasn't been translated, but we got Rewrite, a pretty prompt amount of time by Amaterasu when that was released, but...
That was surprisingly quick,
carried away. Yeah, but, like, Little Busters was, at the time, like, remarkably quick, I thought, when it came out. Like, I guess it was, like, a bit of a wait between the roots, but you never felt like the project was dead or anything. Like, they kept at it until Refrain was done.
Then
we end up waiting forever for EX.
I mean, we had some pauses, of course, it took many years and not everybody can be translating, like, all the time during such a long period, but I don't think we had, like, long breaks until the complete translation was finished.
Yeah.
Why did EX take so long, though?
Back then, after we finished the complete translation, the later versions, like the Memorial Box Edition, used a different version of the engine, and the old tools didn't quite work with that, so there was some technical delays. We did finally get it working after a while, but then we wanted to, like, release all the roots at once, and that's a lot to translate. Like, they were like 30% of the whole length of the original game or something if you put them together.
Is it that long?
Yeah, I mean, they're very long. They're the longest routes in the game, like all of them.
My god.
I think Kanata's the longest, isn't it?
Which one?
Kanata? I'm pretty sure that's the longest route in the
game. Technically, yes, but actually I think Saya is, like, even a lot longer than that, because she also has a lot of new scenes in the common route, which are kind of hard to calculate into it.
Yeah. Saya kind of just changes everything in the game.
Yeah, like, Sasa Ami's route is, like, it's long compared to the original ones, but it's not the longest of them. But both Kanata and Saya are, like, kind of much longer.
Yeah, because Saya kind of has her own common route, basically.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Without going into too much detail about that, yeah, it does change a lot. But yeah... We're just, like, talking about technical stuff now. I hope we're not boring the audience, but I find it really interesting.
I have a question. Like, what did you guys from Fluffy think about the reception once the patch was out?
Oh yeah,
well,
question.
I can speak for everyone else, but I loved it. And for me personally, like, I love seeing people like reading our games and commenting on them and like reading their reviews and impressions. Like, it's almost as awesome for me if I can see that they do it. A game we translated really touched someone as if I'm reading it myself. So I really enjoyed those reactions. Okay.
Mm. And I know, like, back in the day, like, the Fluffy IRC was pretty much a Little Busters fan club.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Would have been nice if I found the IRC earlier, but oh well.
Son and Destiny. I mean, that was just me. I was, like, desperate to find people to talk about the series with, and that's how I found that.
Yeah, the funny thing is that, sure. Like,
it's Protocatha.
We don't have an official group or anything for Little Busters. Like, I mean, Fluffy was just a channel name where we were working. Yeah. We just started to call ourselves the Fluffy, like, in the past few years when we needed to call ourselves something after it was released, but we weren't really working as, like, a group of some name.
You could have called yourself Oliver Sauce.
Yeah. But I mean, we're just the people in channel Fluffy, basically.
Yeah.
Which was originally like the off-topic channel for BNDB.
Really?
It's still in the channel description.
Oh my god.
I had no idea.
Wait a second. So, like, are you guys, like, related to BNDB then?
Oh yeah, I mean, Echo Materia, who was also the graphics editor on... was in the project before me, like long before me, was one of the guys who were working like on the release of BNDB basically. And our homepage is hosted by the guy who made BNDB, and so yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Today we learn.
I'm learning more.
It's a fun game to just click random visual novel and see what shit you can get in.
Yeah, it was pretty fun when they added that feature.
Yeah. Wow. This has just been like a podcast about the old visual novel industry.
Yeah, and pretty like much.
And I love it, but we've gone so off topic.
Yeah,
I hope totally. The audience finds this as interesting as we do. Okay, let's talk about Little Busters, guys.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about, like, let's go in a circle. Who is your favorite character and why? Emily, you go first.
This is hard to pick between Kamari and Rin, partially because of how intertwined their stories kind of are. But, like, you said it yourself, I am pretty much just Rin IRL.
Yeah.
And Kamari I like because she's just because of who she is to Rin. It kind of reflects on me too.
Hmm. In sort of like how Kamari kind of
brings Rin out of her shell in a way.
Yeah, she's kind of like a positive force in shaping Rin's identity. Mm-hmm. And kind of like almost like a role model for Rin, I'd say, in some aspect.
She's a role model for me too.
Hashtag find your Kamari.
Positive attitude.
Hashtag find your Kamari.
It's kind of ironic because, like, I think most Little Busters fans would agree that her route is probably the weakest character route, but she still has a lot of fans as a character. Like, there's very few people that dislike Kamari. I know some do, but at least on Kaza, she's very popular.
Yeah, I will honestly say that it's one of my favorite routes, just because it resonates so strongly with me.
Yeah, I can totally get behind that. I mean, like I said before...
Like, you're not the only one that thinks that.
Yeah, I mean, I know there are a lot of people who don't like her route, but I think it's great. I mean, it has that very traditional key feel to it, which may be part of the reason people don't like it, but I think it's just very good.
Oh, yes.
It's very by the numbers, I guess you could say.
Helios does mention, fuck the haters who don't like Yana Senatsu, because the main complaint I've heard against Komori is that her voice is annoying.
No!
Yo!
Yeah, I've heard that opinion a lot, and Yanase Natsumi is like my favorite seiyuu, so I've never really been able to attach to that criticism.
Yeah,
like, I guess I can see why, but I don't agree. She's great. I like her voice a lot. Sorry to all the haters listening to this, which there probably aren't that many. It's a freaking Little Busters podcast, let's be honest. But yeah, let's go. Pepe, what's your favorite character?
This is a hard question to answer, but I think without a doubt...
You can just pick one.
Without a doubt, it'll have to be Kyosuke. I mean, you can't say no to Kyosuke, man. He is the man. He's the bro. He's... I have no words for how great the character Kyosuke is.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag all the homo.
Okay. I hate this question because, to be honest, I love all the characters in the game. Like, there isn't a single character I don't like. I even like all of their roots, even though I might be biased, of course. But
just pick one you like and talk about why.
Well, my main favorites in the original game are basically Rin and Kurukaya, which are like totally different characters, but both of them are like exceptionally good at what they do. And I also have to give a special mention to Sasami, who is just like, it's amazing every time she's on screen.
We don't see much love for Sasami, but I also think she's a pretty good character.
I mean, a big part of that is you don't see much of her in the vanilla game.
True.
Yeah, but everything you do, it's just great.
that's so true.
It's kind of like she's kind of annoying at the start. But then, like, she kind of grows on you a little bit as you kind of learn to empathize with her and realize that, yeah, she's just kind of reacting to Rin.
Yeah.
Not really in a sort of...
Her interactions with Rin are just so amusing, and it gets even funnier when you know that Rin and Sasami have the same voice actress, so she's just doing this double play against herself all the time.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. Okay, Sasami's character... Sasami's character becomes...
It's a very friendly, like, sort of squabble, too. It's like, they don't really feel like they hate each other or anything. It's just kind of like... I don't know. It's kind of at odds sometimes.
Sasami's character becomes so much better when you realize that she isn't all as good as she makes herself out to be. She isn't as perfect as she claims herself to be. And that's what gives her the appeal, I think, that I like about her.
Yeah. And also her route is pretty awesome.
We'll definitely talk more about her when we get to her route in the book club.
Hey.
Looking forward to that. And I guess it's me now. I like Fleeba said, like, I love all the characters, and it does become really hard to pick. I always find myself, like, of the girls, Mio is definitely my top pick. I know she kind of has like a... I always feel like we could do a personality test based on what your favorite Little Busters girl is, but like, it's definitely like, the Mio camp is definitely a bit small, but people who do like Mio like her a lot.
Okay.
And I've definitely met quite a few people on Kaza who also like Mio, but then it's just like, she does seem like one of the more niche choices, but I don't know, it does really attach to her sense of identity and her little crises about what it means to be part of a group, because she's very much a character that doesn't really understand socializing and friends, but at the same time she kind of envies people that do have that, and it's just the kind of like psychological processes you go through when every time you interact with her character. It's like such a vast departure from the rest of the Vision on, which is really bubbly and fun and crazy. It's just like, it's I like it because it's different. I don't know, it's just the atmosphere that Mio brings to the group, and the fact that even someone like her was able to be included in it is really cool to me, and I think it really adds to the strength of the Little Busters as such an inclusive circle.
Yeah, I feel that Mio has like a very quiet presence in the game, but she has like some of the best dialogue in the game.
Yeah, she does. She has some very biting remarks sometimes that catches Ricky off guard. And she's just like, is that really a joke? Like, I don't understand your sense of humor.
Yeah, and all of her references that nobody else understands. Except their humor.
Can we have a tag yourself meme based on which is your favorite Little Busters character?
Oh, yeah.
Aspie, get on that
stuff. Make that trending on Twitter. But, that's for the girls, because when I talk about Little Busters characters, I always find myself more drawn to the male characters. It just feels like they're so well written, and it's just it almost strikes me as rare in a visual novel that has such a good male cast.
Yeah, it's like you say that. I think it is very rare. Like most of these older visual novels, like they may have one like friend male characters, but definitely not three.
Yeah. It's usually just like one, like sidekick or friend. Yeah. But Little Busters turns that around, and it does so in a spectacular way. I think that I'm pretty confident I can put most of that down to Maeda's writing. Like, they just feel like Maeda characters to me. I don't know what to say. I love Kengo, I love Masato, I really love Kyosuke. He's like pretty much my role model and the kind of leader I want to be, I strive to be. But then I think my favorite character is Riki, to be honest. I feel like a lot of the fandom kind of either doesn't include him because he's the MC, or doesn't think of him as strong as the rest of the cast. But I think it's just remarkable when you read through Little Busters and watch his development as he grows from such a timid little character into someone amazing, and even like standing as at the center of the Little Busters as sort of like a pseudo leader.
One thing that I really like about Riki is that this is a weird view, but as a girl, I very much like how he's written, because most classic like Vian main characters are very masculine. He's kind of not. He's more kind of soft in a way that makes it much easier for me to identify with him.
Yeah, he does have a different style from the other characters.
They definitely comment on that a lot in the dynamics with the girls, especially like the story comments on how the girls just feel comfortable around him, like Rin especially, that's really highlighted later on. But it's just like he's not the macho like I'm gonna like conquer all these girls sort of Vian protagonist we're all used to. It's very much very different, and like especially in Kurugaya's route, he is like. He does not wear the pants in the relationship at all.
That's the best part about the Kurugaya route, though.
Yeah, that's the best part about Kurugaya.
The part where nobody wears pants?
But Riki is amazing, and I hope with this book club people will pay a bit more attention to the nuances and strengths of his character, because I really like him, and I hope more people end up appreciating him outside of just fan service.
Trap Riki is not cancer.
So yeah, that's my rant on the characters. And I guess like I want to talk a little bit about like just favorite scenes of like, you know, Little Busters is a very amusing story, and I know we all have like our own personal favorite jokes from the series. And like some of them are like obvious ones, and some of them are just like a bit more out there. I know it's been a while since a lot of us have read the visual novel, but if there are any that come to mind, I hope you could bring them up here. So I guess I'll go over in reverse. Fleabus, do you have like a favorite joke from the series?
Maybe my favorite like single pun in the game would be about cellophane, but I really like that scene where Haruka is talking about cleaning. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It has some unexpected consequences.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Quote unquote unexpected.
I'm trying to think, because there's so many crazy scenes, and I can't remember all of them as much as I'd like, but I know there's that one scene where it's like, sorry, I'm just like taking over now.
All right, so, go ahead.
There's that one scene where it's like, the train conductor scene, where like, they're just, Rin and Riki are just going around recruiting members, and they're just like, Rin's just like really getting into like talking like a train conductor over the walkie-talkie, and it's so fucking funny to me. And there's like, I think one thing that I always come back to is the scene where Riki like opens a closet that's like full of shit, and it all comes tumbling down, and everyone in the class looks at him, and he's just like, "This is my home. This is one of the options."
Lock
inside the closet.
Okay. And everybody's like, "Oh, okay, I guess he lives there."
And I know there's some really weird scenes with Masato where you just like, I think there's one scene where they like crawl around in the, through the hallway and like creep everything out.
Like he's like commenting how he can hear Masato's racket breathing behind him as he's crawling after him. It's just amazing.
It's just like the interactions between Riki and Masato are so like just high school dumb shit. And I just love it. Just like fucking around. It's sorry, I just kind of like took over there, but I had a few
things. Don't worry.
Those were great scenes.
Pepe, do you have any favorites?
Definitely. I think the one that stuck with me the most is Little Rubber Rubber Hunters. Like,
oh, that's a very popular one.
Practically all of the scenes I love, but I especially love the Kengo to Komari one. The one where Kengo says, shoot your arrow up and it will find your target. And then Haruka just suddenly sticks her face out the window and poop. And ruins everything.
Kurugai's route has a lot of funny scenes.
Yeah.
And like, suffice to say, there's a lot of funny shit in Saya's route that I can't really talk about too much, but look forward to that route, holy shit. Emmy, did you have a favorite in mind?
All of them? I guess it was, like, I've been sitting here for the first couple of minutes just trying to pick one, but like, I think, like, if I have to pick one, I will have to say the aphorism scene, just because of the sheer ability of it.
Let's talk lastly about, I don't know, just general thoughts of what Little Busters means to you. Pepe, why don't you take us forward?
Oh dear. I should have prepared for this more, but I didn't. What does Little Busters
mean? It's okay, none of us are prepared.
Fair. Little Busters to me means, well, it means friendship. It means the kind of friendship that you get when you can be a kid and be the dumbest kind of kid you can be. I think there's a really good reason why high school, well, at least from my personal experience, high school relationships, high school friendships tend to last longer than college relationships, like even though you spend more or less the same amount of time with those people. Just, you know, being able to develop yourself alongside these people and grow alongside these people is what Little Busters means to me. And in the short span of, how long was the story? 2 weeks or so? You get to see these 9, 7 characters? I lost count. All of these characters grow alongside each other, and it's not surprising, despite them only knowing each other for a few weeks, that they get to become this group that's so tight-knit, and it's something you can see yourself doing if you were still back in high school, or if you still are in high school. And that's that whole friendship, that whole camaraderie thing is what Little Busters means to me.
Hmm. Good answer. Did anyone else want to volunteer something?
I was going to say something similar, except I don't think it's only possible in high school. No,
fair.
Mostly. I have made like quite a few friends that are very much like that. Just like in the couple of years, but that's like, the common denominator, I think, between the people I have done that with is that they are people who are left out, in a way. So, like, some people never really got to do that in high school and just go do it later instead, I guess? That was needlessly dark. Sorry.
No. I definitely feel similarly. Like, I feel Little Busters is very much like a story. It is a story of youth, like a cross-section of a very idealized youth that some of us would have experienced, some of us wouldn't, but either way, like, we can all sort of identify with that as something really precious. And, like, even outside of that, because, you know, if the Little Busters really do feel like a family in that short span of time they get to know each other. But, you know, we have relationships that come and go, and, you know, I think Little Busters is really big on hammering in the point that none of these circles will ever last forever. Just like life, everything comes and goes. But, you know, it's so important to engage in these sort of just fun, obligation-free relationships where you can just be yourself and enjoy each other's company and indulge in that while you can, because, you know, not to be like super depressing, but you know, nothing lasts forever, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't like pursue happiness in the now and like try to make the most of, you know, the friendships and relationships we have right now. It's just, yeah, it's just some of the scattered thoughts of what Little Busters means to me.
Yeah, I haven't completely finished this thought, but I kind of feel that these days it's easy to grow cynical about the world and everything. Mm. And I think a lot of creative works recently have kind of embraced that attitude and paint like a very grey picture of the world and everything is depressing and so on. And I think that Little Busters is like the complete antithesis of that. It's a very happy and optimistic way to look at the world, even though there are all these problems. It's still, there's always a way through them. Like, that's the message of the game. And I think that's something that applies to everybody in the world.
Yes, especially now, I feel like Little Busters is going to be an important story because it doesn't always have that cynical edge to every joke, you know? There's some jokes are just about, you know,
having fun.
It's wholesome as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some that's characters actually, are like... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, that's actually surprising considering it at one point had accents.
We don't talk about that.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, because like some of Key's protagonists are just so sarcastic and so much of their humor relies on that sort of like dry sarcasm, but Little Busters is just like, we love each other and we're gonna fuck around. You know, it's kind of like really beautiful in a sense. And it also, you reminded me of something else, Fleabus, and that's when I was first reading Little Busters, it really communicated the sense of sanctuary to me, in that there's a lot of bad shit happening in the world, and Little Busters kind of really focuses on this as a theme. Bad shit happens, but as long as like we have people that we can confide in, people that we can spend our time enjoying the company with, we can kind of create this, you know, sort of like, we can kind of step away from it, you know? We can enjoy ourselves even when things are tough, and we can support each other, and, you know, we can create our own world, you could almost say, where the outside problems don't exist for a small time that we're together, you know what I mean? Mm. And I feel like that's something really important, and that something that more people could serve to remember, that you don't have to just worry all the time. I don't know.
Don't worry.
Yeah. There's a lot of angles you could take that.
Has to be getting multiple messages from the Busters.
There's a lot to take out of this series, yeah, and I know that some people, I hope some people listening to this podcast are people that haven't finished the series yet and are not sure what to expect other than what we've said, but there's a lot you can get out of this series. It goes in a lot of different directions, but at its core, Little Busters is a story of hope, and I hope that the people reading this story can gain some hope out of reading it. That was such a redundant sentence, it felt like. But nonetheless, yeah. Yeah, so I guess we're pretty much ready to wrap this podcast up. It's been fun having you guys to chat about Little Busters and visual novels for an hour. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been a trip down the memory line, so thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, good to have you.
It was nice to have
you too, Emily.
Both you, both Emmy and Fleabus on here since, that was good. No, it's been a while since our last Kaza podcast.
Hmm. And Emily needs to come out of her shell and talk about Little Busters.
She needs to find her Komori.
Yeah.
Kaza Matsuri is your Komori, Emily.
I think pretty much, yeah.
So then, thanks to everybody listening. I hope you enjoy this podcast. We've got a little bit more planned in the lead up to the English edition release. I kind of want to get some people who are new to the series to join me to just have a little fun talk about speculations of what they expect the series is going to be like. I think you're doing like a game show sort of thing where I'm just like, did this actually happen in the series or not? True or false? So I'm just going to give ridiculous statements.
Oh my
just
god!
To see if more
that's,
people
that, I, that's a terrific idea.
I wasn't sure if you were going to say terrible or not.
I wanted to say terrific, but my mouth started saying terrible, so I had to double back.
And of course, I need the like quiz noises from the game files to use.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Catch you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.